This is for every motherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
But thank you for maturity and Christ being formed in us. Lord, we are a juggernaut. We probably don't even realize all the things that you have planned for us. But we love you and we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. Or you can take your Bible app if you want. And let's say this together. This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, I am a born again child of God. I am learning to abide in Christ. I am growing in his character. And I am pushing back darkness. Amen. And I am pushing back darkness. Amen. Love the call of God. So give place to the commissioning. Give place to the preparation that he needs to do within each of us. We're going to continue our series, Assignment 2020, as the Lord has asked us to build and foster and nurture a culture and an environment and an atmosphere of maturity in and among his people. It will be a process. It's going to take time. If you've seen Jesus, he's without spot or blemish. He's amazing. Well, that's the goal. That's the goal of Christianity, that you would grow up in all aspects to look like him. Romans 8:29, we're all predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. So if you've seen him and you're honest, surely you realize you might have some growing to do to look and live, walk in his ways, his character, and those things. So we want to mature into actual disciples of Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:19, New Living Translation. My dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they're going to continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. My goodness. The Message Bible, it's going to continue until Christ's life becomes visible in you. Boy, he's waking the church. That the end goal, church, wasn't church membership. It wasn't calling yourself a Christian because you go to church somewhere in America. We have more church members than we do born-again Christians in this country. How is it that the Gadarene demoniac, who had 2,000 demons named Legion, recognized immediately Jesus as the Son of God, fell down at his feet and worshiped him? And all those guys all around Jesus all that time, the Pharisees, who knew so much scripture, couldn't recognize him. So in the body of Christ, we may know scripture, but we need to know him. We need to know the author. The Bible is the one book that it's highly recommended you read it with the author present. Amen. Don't just read the book. Sit with the author. Amen. Be filled with his spirit. Be filled with his love. Let everything you do be born out of his initiative and out of a relationship with the living God. He is alive. Amen, somebody. Easter's coming. We're going to celebrate it. He's not just alive on Easter. He's alive all the time. Every day, speaking to us, we live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. Maturity is the condition of being fully developed and Christ-like. So as a church body, we've committed to intentionally investing in each other for the purpose of connecting people to the vine. If people don't know Christ, we want to connect them to Christ. But there's a lot of people who walked the aisle, maybe signed a card and got water baptized, that were never taught about discipleship. They were never taught about relationship with Jesus. Like, when you walked the aisle, that was the beginning, not the end. And so many people look at it as, well, I'm saved now, I'm heaven ready. Well, yay, you're going to get your teeth kicked in the earth if you don't learn to abide in Jesus Christ and have relationship with him on a regular basis. Amen. Is everybody awake today? Okay. So we've committed to intentionally invest in each other, to grow each other in Christ, to live transformed lives. I'm every day engaged in the transformation process of becoming more and more like Christ. The church is modeled after the biblical family structure. Everybody say family. Family. Say, we are family. Somebody should write a song about that. The church is modeled after biblical family structure, not hierarchy at IBM. Well, amen. It's not run like Tinker. It's not run like General Motors. We're a family. So the mature in Christ are to function as spiritual family for those who are not yet mature. And as was given prophetically even last week, I'm going to be immature in some areas that you're mature. So I need to allow you to grow and sharpen me and develop me in those areas, just like you allow me to speak into your life and model for you other areas where I am mature. Amen. Amen. Why? How does this happen? How do we stay humble like that? Have you seen Jesus? If you've seen him, the more you get to know him, the more humble you become. Amen. It's not about just knowing about him. Knowledge puffs up. Love will edify. Revelation of love in his eyes will humble you mightily. So we're to function as spiritual family. We're to father people. Fathering people is the heart of God. One of his names is Father. So fathering people is the heart of God. Investing in people, helping take care of them, laying your life down for another person. Can you imagine in America? We're so in love with Jesus, we're willing to lay our own life and rights down to help somebody else grow in Christ. That means if they call at 2 a.m., brother, I'll be right there. Covenant. Amen. Not, hey, that's not listed in the church membership benefits. We're not church members. We're family together. We love each other. We got fathers and mothers. 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul said, for though you have like 10,000 teachers, you have so few fathers. So, but think about it. If he's maturing us, if that is the goal for 2020 and who knows how beyond, then aren't we going to have fathers and mothers in the house? Aren't we going to care and look after each other? Amen. We will. And the church in America could say this. We do have 10,000 teachers. We've got all kinds of good preachers. But sermons aren't changing America. Real authentic disciples and followers of Jesus, kingdom ambassadors who know him, that'll change America. People who will intentionally invest in and lay their lives down for other people that we love you so much. We'll lay down our time, our priorities. Amen. I'm not going to watch American Idol tonight. I'm going to pour into you instead. Amen. Let me tell you what Jesus is doing in this hour. He's not playing church. He's building the church. He's building the church so the gates of hell will not prevail against us. In order to build the church, we need to mature. And if we're in a mature environment, we're going to have, you know, fathering and mothering and investment and intention and purpose in what we're doing and in who we are even. Let's go back to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is amplified, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us. Well, I love that. The result of his presence within us. You realize he's in you. Amen. So don't let all your prayers be ascending up into the atmosphere somewhere. He's in you. Listen from within. He's close. So the fruit of his presence in us is love, unselfish concern for others. I'm turning off the TV tonight because my brother needs me. Joy and inner peace. Patience. I love this. Not the ability to wait, but how you act while you're waiting. Amen. Well, I waited through that traffic. I did. I waited. Yeah, and you cussed everybody while you were waiting. Patience doesn't mean you were still alive when the traffic subsided. It was what was in your heart and spirit while you were blessing the traffic. Did I tell you that? Bless the traffic. Did I give you that last week? Yeah. Bless the traffic. If it doesn't change, it will change sometimes. Sometimes he just changes you. My goodness. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no what?
Law.
So the law was given to put a restraint. Everybody say restraint. The law was given to put a restraint on sin. He's saying, hey, there's no restraint on any of these. If you want to be crazy and wild and consumed and outlandish and lavish in something, let it be love. Let it be joy. Let it be peace. Let it be patience. There's no restraint against these things. You can do them to the fullest. Amen. God forbid you go to a church and put love on display and you're worshiping and you're, oh God, I love you so much and I got joy, divine exuberance for Christ. And somebody says, Vance, we don't do that. We don't do that. You're kidding me? He says there's no law. There shouldn't be any law against this. So let it go. Amen. Let it go. I like that. Just be free in love. You know, you'll live a holy life if you'll just be radical in love and joy and peace and let the fullness of these things overtake you. It's a much better life than just trying not to mess up. Lord, I'm going to try not to cuss today. How about you just be filled with love and joy and peace? My goodness. Amen. Remember this? I gave you this last week and you decided to come back. Praise God. Love. Love, joy, peace, all those on the left. What are they? Well, divine sacrificial love for God and others. That's a divine love. Divine love, strength and exuberance, security and wholeness. Divine love's endurance and conduct. Goodness is divine love's purity and virtue. And then we've got divine love's commitment, divine love's humility. And then self-control is divine love's victory in my heart. Amen. Because temptation can't conquer a heart that's already conquered by love. My heart's already full. I'm not looking for anything, devil. Amen. A cup of water is not much of a temptation to somebody who's just drank a gallon. So be full. Amen. Be full and you won't be so vulnerable. My goodness, that's good. I put that on the sign. Be full so you won't be so vulnerable. But I asked you to ask this question. I pray you did this week. If you didn't, ask this week or even ask again. To what degree are these descriptions realities in me every day? To what degree? Because this is the goal. These are all Christ-like. We agree? The fruit of His Spirit inside of us. I pray that you've sat with the Lord daily. I pray you're assessing where you're at on this. I love Brother Kyle Reed. He said he was so excited after service when he saw this. He said, the Lord spoke to me that this may be, as he was rating himself, he said, this may be where you are, but it's not the finished work of who you are. So he's gracious in his evaluation of how much these are manifesting in our life. Amen. It's the starting point. Okay, Lord, thank you for being honest that I need more joy and divine strength and exuberance. I let the enemy take my joy too much. Let's grow together from here. So it may be where you're at, but hey, you possess all these in Christ, and this is where He's taking you. So it's a right attitude to have that I'm a work in progress. But Brother Kyle has made a decision in his heart, I'm going to grow from where I am. I'm not going to stay there. I'm not just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Can I get a witness? Change isn't always fun. And we love talk of transformation. We're like, yes, amen. Behold, I knew a new thing. Give me the new thing. Yeah, until he gives you the blueprint. And it requires you getting up at 6:30 to spend time with him. If change was easy, more people would be doing it. Change is not easy, and it has to begin in your own heart. That's where it begins. We'll probably talk about some of that. And a rhema word. I love a rhema word. When you think of rhema, think of relationship. Rhema is a relational word. He spoke something directly to you. You didn't just see it in Scripture and read it. He spoke it to you. Remember the young man, I told you the story when his dad was mad at him because his mom had left and he seemed full of joy. The young man was like 17 years old. And he said, Dad, she's coming back. His dad, well, how do you know that? God told me. So he had a rhema word. With a rhema word comes the faith to stand in and execute what he just told you. There's no fear in that. He didn't need to pray about it anymore. God had told him she was coming back, and she did 2 weeks later, and Dad got saved. Because he said, I want to know who you know. This God talking to you, I want to know him. Amen. And so it starts in our heart. It starts with a rhema word. I can encourage you all day long that it's God's will for you to mature, but you have to wrestle with the Lord in your own heart and hear his voice say, you know what, Greg, it's time. Sherry, it's time. Felicia, it's time. When you hear that, now there's faith and you'll begin to walk it out and you're okay with the changes. If he says, hey, I need you to get up at 6:30, or I need you to turn the radio off KJ 103 and listen to me on your way to work. Yes. Amen. Or if he says, why don't you cut your screen time down? Because as much as you look at television and as much as you look at your phone screen and Twitter and CNN and all this stuff, do you not know that that anxiety and fear in the world is getting on you? You become like that which you behold, so would you quit looking at some of that? If you really want to grow, which is my will for you, it's my heart for you, and you said yes, if you want to do it, will you start beholding the things I ask you to behold? So we get excited about change. Oh, I want to change. I want a new thing. Yes. And then he says, okay. Here's how we're going to grow you. You know, he told me one time, he said, Steve, if your preaching is bad, going longer won't help it. So if your disciplines right now aren't producing any fruit, if whatever you're doing in your personal life is not bearing the fruit you want, don't just keep doing it. That's what I was saying about Kyle. Kyle was saying, he made a decision in his own heart. I want to grow. I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm not condemned in looking at the fruit of the Spirit and where I am. I'm not condemned. I'm encouraged because the Lord has invited me to grow and look like him. Somebody give God praise in this house. Amen. Don't you love the Lord? He's so funny. Steve, if the sermon is bad, going longer will not help. We can't just keep doing what we're doing for longer durations. How about this? How many of you, being honest, get tired of the gap between who you know you are in Christ and some of your daily behaviors and attitudes? Man, I know I do. Lord, help me, Jesus. I get tired of the gap that I see between who I know I am in Christ and then when fleshly behaviors come out or attitudes come out or somebody touches me the wrong way. You know, and what we'll do in the body of Christ is pray away all our trials. Lord, God forbid somebody do something to me that triggers something in me where it needs your attention. We can pray ourselves into immaturity all the time because we're like, God, I just don't want any problems. You know, please help everybody treat me good today. You know, wow. I mean, if you want to mature and say, Father, I'm not going to look at what my trials do to me. I'm going to look at what my trials do for me. And if she's saying that to me, hurt me like that, if it twisted me that way, Lord, something in here needs your attention. And what we'll do is, oh God, get her. Make her behave. So I can live a free life. Oh my goodness. I'm glad you see that. No condemnation there. But I don't like the gap that exists there. And I want the Lord to help me and grow me. And he is. And I got a wonderful group of men on Monday night that come to my house who help me walk that walk. But maturity is staying in Christ and emotionally healthy during the ups and downs of a relationship, a conversation, or traffic. And it's so funny. What a crazy, I mean, my last 2 weeks, you want to talk about warfare. Oh my goodness. The last 2 weeks. And it was a 2 weeks ago that Wednesday. I mean, I was getting assaulted. Things were breaking down. Relationships were getting testy and all that. And it took me till Wednesday to hear him say, didn't you give me permission to mature you? Like, can I renege on that? Can I go back on that? Because this is painful. And he would take me back to, in a relationship, he'd take me back. Are you honoring them? Are you humble towards them? Is your heart for reconciliation? Are you trusting them? And are you walking the unity of the Spirit with them? And that killed everything. That is my plan. When I start getting testy or something's breaking down, I'm going back to those five core tenets. Am I honoring them? Am I humble towards them? Do I trust them? Is my heart for reconciliation? The flesh doesn't want reconciliation. The flesh wants justification, but you can't be healed by revenge. You only be healed by forgiveness and reconciliation and peace and doing the things that the Lord asks you to do. Amen. So get a plan. Everybody say, get a plan for overcoming these things that try to, you know, wear you out. But bottom line is don't just pray yourself into immaturity. Begin to recognize, Lord, there's areas beneath the iceberg, as we've talked about, that need your attention. And if that person brings them out of me, then so be it. And thank you for you and thank you for them. Amen. Because Lord, I want to be like you. So what a tough week. Lord, he's reminded me a few times, did you not say, give me permission that I could mature you and grow you up? Wait till we read Matthew 5. I mean, we may purge the whole church. Right, Sean and I talked about this one the other day. Matthew 5, 38 through 48. Are you kidding me? Give to him who asks of you. Don't expect to get anything back. If they smite you on the right cheek, turn and offer the other one. Love, anybody can love those that don't love you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who use you, persecute you. Yes. And then he says, when you do it, you'll be just like your Father in heaven. Yes. So be, verse 48, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. The word perfect is mature. But thank God the word mature is actually the end of a process. That's what that word means. The end result is we're going to love like he loves. Yes. And that's what the world needs to see. That's what your family needs to see. That's what your husband needs to see. What your spouse needs to see. They don't need to hear you griping at them. They need to see the love of Christ at work in your life and in your heart. Well, don't shout me down. That was good. That really was good. I think all of us, if we're honest, the way we function as a father, as a husband, as an employee, as a classmate in school, don't we all want to look more like the culture, values, and family of God that we represent rather than the cultures of the world, the values of the world, and the family we came from, the natural family? I believe that. We don't want to be carnal. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritually mature people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So what's a babe in Christ? Carnal, worldly. So you can be a Christian, but look like the world. Is that his goal? Absolutely not. It's spiritual infancy. That's why we need to cultivate an atmosphere and a culture of maturity here. Verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you weren't even able to receive it, and even now you're still not able to receive it, for you're what? Still carnal. What does that mean? Carnal means you're carnally sourced. Everything around you, people, things, situations, totally affect you and overrun you and determine your expression, your attitude, your demeanor. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. So why is your umbilical cord plugged up to the world? Why does that person have more power than me to exhibit your attitude? That's carnal. And I don't know about you, but I am tired of it. I don't want to live that way. I want Christ to be my source. Remember the word last week? He said, hey, the world didn't give you joy, so the world can't take it away. I am your source for joy. I'm your source for loving other people. Jesus is basically saying in the Matthew 5, 38 through 48, that you're carnal, you're still immature if you're not able to love people who don't love you. My goodness, and here we are in America, and the church tries to out-argue everybody. Head-to-head combat instead of warring in the arena of the heart of man. Heart-to-heart is where we need to meet with people. Because they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So you got the heart of God for them. My goodness. So you're still carnal, for where there's what? Here's some descriptions of carnality. Envy, strife, divisions. Are you not carnal and behaving like the world? Traits of the immature. So there was a prophetic word. I was at a conference on Friday, and the word was, the gentleman was from England, but he said, God is coming back into his church. But it's not into a building. He's coming back into your hearts, your daily lives, into your marriages, your family, your living room, and your businesses. He's coming back to be Lord. Lord of all. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, very familiar passage. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove how good, acceptable, and perfect the will of God is. So the bottom line is, every day you're either being conformed to the image of the world or conformed to the image of Jesus. Which one's your actual destiny? Jesus. That's what's even written into your wiring. If you try to conform to the image of the world, you're going to find flesh and frustration. But have you noticed in the culture we live in, if you're watching television, that they're trying to communicate to you, or social media, we'll just do that. They're really trying to communicate a certain set of values to you. Have you noticed that? I mean, right now in the political arena, it's everybody's conveying their what they believe their values ought to be. But things have shifted. Even the media, you don't get news anymore. You're not getting unbiased news. Everything has an agenda and a slant to it. And if you don't conform to what the world wants you to conform to in the way of their values, they'll say you're a horrible person. Amen? I'm telling you the truth. The world we live in, if you don't think like the world, value what they value, God forbid you think marriage is between a man and a woman. If you dare utter that, you're a horrible person. So they're trying to conform, and I mean the gloves are off. The enemy has just completely exposed himself this way. He's trying to conform people to the world's values. But Christ wants you to conform to him. I would even say the culture wants to conform Jesus to look like them. Jesus would totally be okay with this. Didn't Jesus preach love all the time? Jesus never used love as an excuse not to tell someone the truth. Never. Never use love as an excuse to not share truth with somebody. So there's too many in our country who have a Christian veneer that they call faith while loving the world and loving its values. But thank God we can live transformed lives, amen, by renewing our mind, beholding his glory, and abiding in him. Here's a great question. What can I do to grow myself in Christ? Maybe you don't have anybody or a group of buddies that you're walking with right now. Well, you can certainly begin to grow yourself in Christ. Start identifying yourself as a new creation. You're not of the world anymore. You're a brand new creation if you've invited Christ into your heart and you're connected to the vine. You need to believe that. When I got born again, I got connected to him. He came in, connected himself to me, connected me to him. So when I abide, that's what I'm doing. I'm abiding in him. I'm renewing my mind to who I really am. How about this? I'm beholding the glory of the Lord. Little lusts that live in little souls get overtaken when the little souls behold the great big glory of God. Little lusts, we all have them, that live in little souls, the arena of the soulish man, your mind, your thought life, your emotions. They succumb and get overtaken when the little souls behold the beauty and the glory of a great big God. So you want to start growing yourself, start sitting with the Lord and beholding how amazing he is. Amen? And if he says, turn off the TV box, then turn it off. If he says, quit reading the news, quit reading the news. Hear him, and here's a flash, obey him. Let him be Lord. Touch your neighbor and say, let him be Lord. Start knowing the truth. How about walking in the reality that you're a chosen child of God? That's abiding. I'm going to walk every step today knowing I'm living in the reality I'm a chosen child of God. I'm living in the reality that God's thoughts and perspectives have become my thoughts and perspectives. I'm working. How many of you know you got to work? Some guys we talk to, you know, I got to do construction. How do I continue abiding? You, even though you're doing construction, even though you're working at Tinker, you can do it from a place of rest. That within, I'm at peace, I'm at rest in Jesus. He's good with me and I'm good with him. And so now the labor I'm doing as unto him. Listening throughout the day, receiving throughout the day, participating with the intimate presence of Jesus, walking in and by the Holy Spirit. I love this passage. Brother Marlon gave this to us, a group of guys the other night. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with how much? All your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. So there's abiding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's abiding. And I know there's a depth to abiding like Mary and Martha. Mary sat at his feet. And I encourage you to do that. Time in the morning where you are just sitting with him. Listening to the voice that says good things about you. Amen. What does he do in Ephesians 5? He washes us by the washing of the water of the word. So we need to listen to him. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice. How much? Always. Pray without ceasing. That's abiding. Now, the Western version of prayer is telling God what you think you ought to do. That's not what he's talking about. But if prayer is receiving, if prayer is listening, if prayer is just participating with him throughout the day, then you can do it. It doesn't mean close your eyes while you're driving to work and hurt somebody. And then look at this. In everything, do what? Give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And how about 1 John 2, 6? He who says he abides in Christ Jesus ought to himself walk just as he walked. Oh my goodness. Don't tell me you're abiding in Jesus. You spend all this time with him and you don't walk like he does. Now, what this means literally is that you live each day, are you ready, with his spirit, his mind, his attitude, and his demeanor. His spirit, his mind, his attitude, his demeanor. So when you abide in him and you look to him, man, I'm telling you, when Mary got up from sitting at his feet, I guarantee you, she was just filled with him. How do you look at pure love for that long and not get up different? Amen. But much of the church is like Martha. We're doing everything for Jesus and completely neglecting him. We ask Jesus for stuff for, so we can do ministry for him. Did you know that ministry instead of intimacy is idolatry? Ministry that's born out of intimacy is beautiful. Amen. And it's Christ breathed. So he who says that they abide in Christ, we need to walk in his ways. Everybody say walk in his ways. So a disciple abides in Jesus. You can find that in John chapter 8. We walk in his ways. That means his spirit, his mind, his attitude, his demeanor is seen in me. It manifests in traffic. I got traffic on the brain. It manifests when somebody insults me, smites me on the cheek, insults me. You know, the glove. That's what. It manifests when something like that happens. And then we what? We do his works. Even greater works. Do you realize that Peter's shadow fell on people and people were healed? They had handkerchiefs. They had merely touched and they used those handkerchiefs. Jesus never healed anyone by shadow. He said in John 14, 12, even greater works. If you'll abide in me, if you'll walk in my ways, even greater works you'll see. Amen. Now, doesn't that sound exciting? That sounds way funner than being a church member. Because we may die martyrs, but we're not going to die of boredom. We're going to be all in. If we really believe that Jesus is who he says he is, why wouldn't we believe that he knew how to live life? Why wouldn't we know he's the way we're designed to live, the truth about us and the life that's to be lived? If we really believe he is who he says he is, did he ever go away and just sit with his father? Absolutely. He would go away in times of prayer, sometimes all night prayer, sometimes fasting. Jesus never lived by his own initiative. Please write that down. That'll help you. Jesus never lived by his own initiative. He only did what the Father said do, and he only spoke what the Father said speak. Do you realize Jesus didn't eat unless the Father within had said, go ahead and eat? That so convicted me, because I'm like the first guy in line at buffet line, and here we go. Now I'm asking, Lord, is it okay for me to eat, and may I eat that? What are we talking about? We're talking about lordship. Yeah. Who's in charge of your life? He should be. Yeah. Oh my goodness, isn't that powerful? Yeah. And I know I've already seen it in the spirit. It's going to happen. Yeah. I've already seen this in the spirit. It's going to happen for me. When he says, no, I don't want you to eat that. It's probably going to be a great big muffin or something. Peanut M&Ms, yeah. Oreos, peanut butter ding dongs. Those are really good. Just had one of those yesterday. But it's going to happen. Listen, this is what's going to happen. Don't get distracted. Yeah, it's too late. I'm going to be honest with the Lord, and I'm going to say, Lord, I want that muffin. I really like the lemon ones. Don't send me lemon ones either. I really like the lemon ones, but don't send them to me. I really want to eat that lemon muffin, Lord. But I want something more than I want that muffin. Yes. Yes. I want you to be Lord of every aspect of my life. I want you to be formed within me, and I want the power of God moving in and through my members. And if you tell me not to eat it, there must be a reason not to eat it, and there's something I want more than that muffin, and it's you. Amen. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Isn't that powerful? And I just release that for each of you. As a church, Lord, we may want this or that, but more than that, we want you. So what are we going to do? We're going to seek him. These are three important things. Number one, seek him for who he is. Don't seek his hand. Don't seek him for what he can do for you. Seek him to know him. I want to know you, Lord. I want to sit with you. And if you never did another thing for me, thank you for saving me. Amen. So number one, seek him for him. Number two, follow him inwardly. Because I know in church, Richard, I mean, we through the years, we've all been there. It's like, oh, you're saved now? You're hanging out with Jesus? Okay, get out there and do something. Before you follow him outwardly, write this down. Follow him inwardly. Did you know one of the definitions of prayer means to penetrate? And so we think, and Felicia's an intercessor, she gets this. A lot of times when we pray, we do penetrate darkness out there with light. Okay, so we're praying that way, and it penetrates darkness out there. But there's a form of prayer that penetrates darkness within. Yeah. That I'm sitting with him, and I'm allowing him to go beneath the surface of the iceberg. Lord, would you cleanse me of all my old identities? Would you please cleanse me of my fears and insecurities? Would you please uproot out of me anything that doesn't look like you. So I'm gonna seek him first for who he is. Number two, I'm gonna follow him inwardly in prayer. And then thirdly, I'll follow him outwardly. Gavin, you guys can go ahead and come. Maybe we'll get into this next week. We'll see how he leads, but you see this model in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they gathered together for prayer. Remember what they had been promised? That the promise of the Father was going to come if they would unite and gather together and just pray. And they weren't praying selfish prayers, people. They weren't in the upper room saying, God, please kill everybody that killed Jesus. Lord, please bless our ministry. Are you listening to me? Lord, please bless the church we're going to birth. You know, they didn't have any of that in mind. None of it was selfish. It was prayers of surrender. They were seeking him to know him. And then the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. That was chapter 1. Chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came where? Within. And he cleansed them of old identities, all their fears, insecurities. Acts chapter 3, they began to follow him outwardly, and there was healing at the gate, beautiful. But here's what I want you to see. They didn't mature or get to that kind of self-surrendered, abiding prayer. They began with it. The early church began with that model of prayer. I seek him to know him. Then I follow him inwardly in prayer so he can penetrate darkness and ready me for the commission. Amen? Call, commission. And then I'll follow him outwardly. So that's why I say God's not ending something here. God's beginning something. And I want to read this to you. Will you stand with me? I want to read this to you. Christ had formed himself in the early church for the benefit of Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. Will we allow Christ to be formed within us for the sake of those around us? I believe it's yes. How many of you know pastoring can be hard? Looks challenging, sure. A very good pastor friend of mine, many years ago, found himself in prayer, and the Lord spoke to him, kind of interrupted what he was saying. And he said, "My son, if you don't let me love you, you're not going to finish the race. If you don't let me in and let me, you got to take your walls down, you're not going to make it." And the Lord told my friend, he said, "For many years now, ministry for me, not intimacy with me, has been your center." And he said, "You can't have all outgo and no inflow. I need you to follow me inwardly in prayer." So I don't care if you're a plumber, an accountant, a pastor, whatever, discovery group leader, Jesus better be your source. We have seen the stats on burnout, burn up, and all that kind of stuff. My friend had pastored for 10 years, preached many messages on the love of God, but he had lost the priority of simple, abiding time with Jesus and learning to receive. He sought him for ministry ideas. He didn't seek him for intimacy and refreshing and just to know the Lord. Here's what my friend said. Quote, "I had spent a lifetime in ministry diminishing my own emotional pain, living in denial, and simply pressing forward to the next activity for God. Needless to say, I was shocked to receive an invitation from him for intimacy." He was in ministry. He's doing all this stuff. And yet the Lord invited him to be still and know that he's God. And seek him for intimacy and relationship, not for doing something. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, will we come to you this morning, Lord? And we say yes to your invitation to intimacy, to being with you, to abiding with you, to spending time with you, so that you can be formed within us, so we can be mature, so we can know the Father's values, that we might one day be entrusted with all your valuables. Father, it begins in the heart. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray you would knock on the door of people's hearts this morning. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll fellowship with him and he with me." Lord, would you just launch us headlong into intimacy with Jesus? If we'll abide in you, we will bear more fruit than we ever thought possible. We want to abide in you. We want to walk in your ways, your attitude, your demeanor, and we want to work your works. But they need to go in that order. Gavin, go ahead and sing that over us if you would. Just for a moment. How he loves us.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.